Okay, it's 10:01, one past 10 o'clock. I am J. Thomas Smith along with Val Wilson on Sunday Morning Live for November 4th, 2012. And, of course, we move on into our next segment with Carmen Watkins of the NAACP and Arva Howard, precinct/election judge. Welcome to you both to Sunday Morning Live at Magic 102.1.
Good morning to you.
Thank you.
And Carmen, what is your role with the NAACP, Carmen?
I am the Southwest Regional Director for the NAACP.
Okay. And Ms. Howard, you are, as an election judge, how does that role come about?
Well, the election judge presides over the polling place on election day and is responsible for making sure that only eligible and qualified voters are casting their votes in that particular election.
Okay. And so, and then your position, were you appointed, elected, paid? How does that work? I mean, you're salaried employee, you work all year long. I mean, I'm just trying to get our audience to understand what the role is and how the importance of the role.
Well, frequently people get a precinct chair and an election judge they think it's one thing, but mm-hmm. It's really two things. But generally, your precinct chair is also the election judge in that particular precinct. An election judge is more or less a county official appointed by the county commissioner.
Okay.
So L. Franco Lee appoints the election judges in his particular county precinct.
Okay. Well, we asked you to come in today because we wanted to help our listeners to best understand and better understand just how important Election Day is and things that they should do or should not be doing. Earlier, Sylvester Turner mentioned, I'm not sure if it was on the air or off the air, but some of the poll watchers were challenging individuals for wearing T-shirts that had nothing to do with a particular party affiliation, but they didn't want them to wear the T-shirt at the polling place.
And Jake Thomas, let me just say this. It's really important to have great precinct judges like Ms. Howard, because you have to have people in the position who can discern what's right and what's not. I think when Representative Turner talked about it, he actually talked about an observer who challenged the NAACP participants for being there. Mm-hmm. In that case, a precinct judge that had the wherewithal could have helped in that situation. Mm-hmm. This was a clerk that kind of instigated the process on up. And so we just have to be real careful and understand what the position is, what everybody's stay in your lane kind of routine is what we need to do for this next couple of days.
What is the issue with regard to what you wear at the polling place?
I'm not aware of any specific law that says you must wear a certain thing or certain things are excluded. Generally, that would probably be discretionary, and the election judge would make that determination. Just because a poll watcher doesn't like something mm-hmm. doesn't mean that poll watcher is automatically correct.
Okay,
so your right to vote supersedes all.
So if someone walked up with a Romney T-shirt on at the polling place.
Well, you cannot come up there, that obviously, because that is a campaign
right, that's
slogan, and yes. You would have to be 100 feet away from the poll at
right.
all times.
So that's the point I was.
So if you're coming into the poll to cast your vote,
yes.
No, you cannot wear party-specific or candidate-specific mm-hmm. gear to
okay.
come in there.
Okay.
But you can wear an NAACP shirt. You can. I mean, I've worn my election
Absolutely.
Protection shirts in the past. Mm-hmm. And I've worn shirts that say, remember to vote. I mean, that is nonpartisan.
What about a Big Bird T-shirt?
Okay, know? Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Okay.
Big Bird would probably be welcome.
Okay.
The one thing that, I also experienced at another precinct, a person who was a clerk, not the judge, who was actually telling individuals they had to have an ID.
And that is not true.
And that is not true.
Absolutely.
And
not
a number
true.
Of people who were in the line had to speak up, of course, including myself, to say that is not the law. And so we have to be vigilant. I think that you cannot stand down in this process. Someone said, don't be combative. Well, I'm not real sure that that's the case. I'm typically combative anyway. but I do believe that you have to stand your ground and say that is not the law
right.
and then move up. There are a couple of, I'll give at least one number. If you have problems on that day at any polling location, we're going to have a team of lawyers in the regional office as well as has a full blast calling center and volunteers. We're going to be asking for those to come out and assist us. That number is 832-593-5142. That's 832-593-5142. If you should have any problems, those attorneys will be prepared to file temporary restraining orders against those who are not complying with the law. We're working with the Houston Lawyers Association and garnering additional lawyers through my good friend Goodwill Pierre. And so I imagine that for those who encounter problems or questions, sometimes it's not that you know that there's a problem, you just feel uncomfortable about it. Mm-hmm. Call and ask the question. Don't let it pass.
What are some of the other concerns that one should have or pay attention to?
I'm always concerned about felons.
Okay.
Because felons have a right to vote. I mean, if you have paid your time, you are off paper. Typically, that is probably the most miscommunicated piece that you have a right to vote.
Okay.
But you have to be registered to vote.
Yes.
Well,
and,
right.
And so at this point, it might be a little too late to tell a felon to go register to be for this election.
Right.
But that is a common misperception that because you were convicted in a felony matter that you have forever lost your right to vote. You have to reapply. And it's just a simple act, but it's just not something that people do because we believe myths and don't really get the facts.
Okay, let's go to the telephone. Let's see. I can't see who's on the line here. Let's try line one. You're on Sunday Morning Live. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Derek. How you guys doing?
I'm fine, Derek. Talk to me.
I got a couple of questions. My son is a college student down in Beaumont, Lamar University.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I have, and he came home just the other day, he had his voter's card, but they told him he cannot vote down there. How's kids that's in college can't vote where they're at? But he's registered and everything.
He's registered where, though? Right. If he's registered in Beaumont, Jefferson County,
right,
he should be able to vote in Jefferson County. You have to be registered in the county where you plan to vote. And
okay,
if, so, you know, your registration card is a county-issued card, so it's not portable all across the country. You can vote wherever you are as long as you are registered in the county where you intend to cast your vote.
Okay, they told him he has to come and get his card and he has to go to the courthouse in Jefferson County, North Bend, to vote for just the president. He can't vote on anything else. Does that sound any truth to that?
Where is your son registered to vote?
He's registered in Harris County. He registered, he filled it out, and he registered.
Okay, but he's trying to vote in Jefferson County.
Yes.
Then why don't you just let him come home for that day and vote in Harris County?
Yeah.
Is that important?
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
He has to vote where he is registered, and it sounds like to me they were trying to hoodwink him, tell him he can vote in Jefferson County for president. Now, that's not going to work.
And that's a common problem because I have Texas Southern University in my precinct. And frequently the students will come up with a California driver's license or a California. And if you think about it, how will we know you did not already cast your vote in California?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have to be registered where you intend to cast your vote. And if he did not want to come home on election day, then he should have asked for a mail-in ballot or something. But Jefferson County has a voter registration process that
and they run things in Jefferson County, in other words.
Yeah.
Right. He's in Jefferson County, but they did tell him to go to the courthouse. He can't vote, but he got to go to the courthouse with his card and ID. That's what they told him.
To vote for president.
All right, Derek.
Just for president.
Okay,
why
Derek.
Why don't you just let him come home and vote that day?
I just wanted to check in.
Okay.
Thanks, Derek.
All
let's go to line two. You're on Sunday Morning Live. Talk to me.
Good morning. My name is Diana, and I like to say that we have to do a better job of educating people way before election time because there's so much misinformation out there.
Yeah.
And I worked
Absolutely.
The polls this whole past week, and I happen to have on a NAACP T-shirt. But, you know, they can find me. I don't care because educating the people is most important to know what they're going to be dealing with. And this little Republican judge over there, he removed the signs that they had out there that said, if you have any issues of voting, call this 866 number. He removed all those off of the site, and he even made a remark to me, I don't see why y'all need to be out here, why y'all asking people, did everything go okay? I said, sir, don't play with me. I said, because you know all the misinformation out here, and you know that y'all are seeing people walk away from those booths without casting that ballot, when y'all can get up off y'all behind and say, ma'am, sir, you didn't cast your ballot. I said, it is an injustice to watch people stand these long lines, go through the motion of voting, and you can easily say, sir, ma'am, you didn't cast your ballot, and y'all watch them walk out of there. I said, that's a crime shame. But again, we have to educate our people, and so many people were told, if you vote straight ticket, go back and hit the president name. We have to let people know ahead of time what is going on. And I sit out there, I talked to over 4,000 or 5,000 people, and I don't care if they find me. It's worth going to jail for that. But I let people know, make sure you don't walk away from that ballot without casting your vote, and make sure if you do a straight ticket, do not go back and make any changes to your name. And again, I want to let people know, you got to get in, let people know wherever you live, make sure you know, go, make sure you know where you're going to vote on election day.
Well, you know,
and let people know, people may come up there, well, ma'am, I live in Dallas, but I was told I can vote anywhere in the state. That's not true. You got to go to your county. And I wish we had programs like this all day long. I get sick of all these stations. You got to hear people making music and bouncing their whatever, tapping your fingers and all. We need to have some educational dialogue for our people year-round, all day long. Lord, I wish it was just a station where the black people got enough money in this state to put together to get a black-owned radio station to where we can inform and educate our people all year round. And we need to get out of that. You know, you That's have these place, people standing in line for hours to get into a place where they can bounce, dance, they butt
ma'am,
off.
Ma'am, right, ma'am, I certainly don't want you to be fired. And if you're not supposed to wear NAACP, your education, your passion to educate individuals is much more important than you risking an opportunity for you not to be employed. So I certainly don't want that. We need folks who will disseminate good information. And so we have to protect you and protect you in this process. And you need to protect yourself more than anything else. But I think that, folks have a tendency to wait until the last minute because we are so busy with being busy. And so to this morning, at least, we're here trying to give good information so that individuals will be ready for Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to line 3. Ron, you're on Sunday Morning Live. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay, Val, and your guests. I want to speak to the people out there that tried to receive mail-in ballots. Let me tell you what happened in my neighborhood. I'm not a community organizer, but some of the old people come to me and ask for help. 5-6 weeks ago, they applied for an application to get a mail-in ballot. On the 27th and the 29th, they got new applications for the mail-in ballot. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They fill out the applications for the mail-in ballot three, four weeks ago, and as of the 27th and 29th, 7 of these people have never received their mail-in ballot. So Tuesday and Wednesday, I had to take them over to the Acres Home Multipurpose Center, and old precinct judge, he tried to give them a hard time. He was going to tell them that they had already voted. And I said, no, they have not. I said, they applied. They sent the application in to apply for the mail-in ballot, but they never received a ballot. So they are here now. And he said, well, now, according to my records, they have already voted. I said, that's a lie. And you cannot stop them from voting because they have never receive the mail-in ballot. They are trying to intimidate some of our people at the polls, y'all.
Okay, well, thanks for that input.
And I want people to know that if you apply for a mail-in ballot and you have not received the mail-in ballot as of today, it's too late. So you actually are going to have to go to the polls.
Okay.
You have a right to go to the poll and vote
right,
in person.
You have to go. You All have right. to go now. Since they never did send you the mail-in ballot.
All right, Ryan.
Please go.
Okay, thanks for your input. Now, don't they send the request forms to the seniors automatically?
No, you have to request that.
Really?
It is not automatic.
Huh.
If they did it automatically, it is so that they may be fooling you into believing that you voted and you've not.
No, I actually
had a neighbor who had
recently turned 65. They sent them a form telling them that they were qualified, and they actually filled it out requesting the ballot. They didn't ask to get the form. It was a card. They mailed it in. They actually got the ballot and actually voted and mailed it back in.
Well, I'm sure
notifying them that they were qualified.
Yeah, and once they filled out the form, they were requesting the ballot.
They when you become eligible to vote by mail, they send it to you that one time.
All right, that's what I was trying to ascertain. Yeah, let's go back to the telephones. Let's go to the
before we go back. One other thing that when we talked about seniors is that they do have a right to have a mobile unit brought to their car if they are disabled. And they have to request that.
In advance?
No, at the site.
At the site.
And it's not just to seniors. It's to anyone who has a disability or feel that they are too impaired to be able to come inside of the polling place. Mm-hmm. They have a mobile unit that everyone is entitled to receive without question.
Right.
And it is brought to your car. And you cast your vote, and then it is brought back inside.
Okay.
And it is tallied just like every other ballot.
We've received a lot of calls about from seniors and those that are disabled who are concerned about individuals who want to vote who may be impaired in some way. And that's always an option.
Okay. Let's go back to the telephones. Line one, Stanley, you're on Sunday Morning Live.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make a point because I actually voted early. I live in Pearland, and I moved here from Virginia. And one of the things that I was really shocked about after casting my vote, I went in, did the voting thing, and I voted straight ticket, Democrat. But for me, I basically like to go back and re-verify things. So I went back and looked at who I cast my vote for, and it didn't have a box checked off for the president and vice president, which shocked me. And thank God I had not pressed the button to cast my ballot. So I went back and did the whole thing again and actually voted for the president and vice president. And so since I was pressed for time, what I did was call the Harris County Democratic office. I tried to call. I actually called information, and they didn't have it registered in the directory assistance. I finally had to call the FBI, who told me I need to go back there and tell the folks that, you know, voting straight is not for the president, which I thought was ludicrous.
What?
So I called several people and actually reported that because, you know, we're actually being told to go in and vote straight ticket, and we're actually casting a vote for the president. But according to how it's actually set up in Peoria County,
what you're saying is not accurate, and I don't want you to go. We don't want to elaborate on this because we may confuse some more people. Normally, once you cast your ballot, before you do the actual casting the vote or saying amen, as a congresswoman said, that you can see a summary of who you voted for.
Right, that's what I did.
So so you can do that. You'll see who you voted for. So
but it didn't have a box checked off for the president and vice president. That's the point.
Check your ballot before you hit cast.
That's what I did. And that's how I discovered that.
No, his concern is the fact that he voted straight ticket and it eliminated two of his choices. And he was trying to determine how to rectify that.
Well, he's saying that he voted straight and then went back and voted individually.
No, he did not say that.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Didn't you just say that? Didn't you say you went back and you checked the president's name after that?
Because as Ms. Howard was saying, when he initially cast his vote straight ticket, it did not show on that. Before you cast your vote, the register that shows everything that is supposed to be under straight ticket was not there. The president and vice presidential pick, which should have been on the first page, top of the line in that total list, was not there.
Absolutely.
That was his concern.
That's why
and so he is telling people before you cast your final
ballot.
Check over everything on that ballot before you hit cast, because some machines might not have everything listed. If everything is not listed, then you go back and then you check things off individually. That is what he's saying, right, Ms. Howard?
That's my interpretation of what
now,
he said.
So that sounds, thank you, Ryan. Now that sounds counter to what we were already told.
I don't think that it's counted. This could have been
a way to correct what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, he's not giving us a procedure.
Oh.
He's telling us about his experience.
Okay.
And so to correct his experience, he went back and he individually checked the president and the vice president that he chose.
Okay.
And I think this goes back to the congresswoman's point. At the end, before you cast your ballot, look at the individuals that have been selected, and then we all can be assured of the individual choices that we made.
And there is a simple solution to this. Check each person individually. where it says D and R. If you want straight Democratic, then go individually, take a little bit more time, and punch individually each one that says Democrat.
Let me look
that way. Or the otherwise, independent or Libertarian, whatever you're voting for.
Yeah. Whichever one you may want, if you believe and you've experienced and you've shared with people that you've had an instance like he described, then for those people who'll be voting on Tuesday, it may be better just to minimize that to select each candidate that you're choosing individually.
Okay.
Let me just put a couple of numbers in here. I know you're phasing out, but we want to leave them with numbers. 866-OUR-VOTE is the national number. Or you can go to the website at www.866ourvote.org. Locally, we'll have a band of attorneys, folks to help you with rides, folks to help you with your precincts at 832-593-5142. That's 832-593-5142.
And that's what we were trying to get done. Okay. Thank you, ladies, so much for being a part of the program. Arva Howard, election precinct judge, and Carmen Watkins, Southwest Regional Director of the NAACP.